is that the same old one? Or is that a different one?
Yes, that's the one that Chuck said to me.
You know how to put this on, sir? It's not on.
Camera, good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how to use it?
And we played around with it, yeah.
Double good.
Yeah.
So glad you were able to be here.
Me too.
Can I turn you on yet or no? Inappropriate?
Did you see me not rise to your bait that you just laid out? Shall I turn you on?
let's keep it clean.
There you go.
No,
I was like,
I think we need to contact HR.
Oh, wait.
It's not on
HR
yet. Turn it on. You turn it on a little bit.
Central dispatch. And it's that we want to talk about. Executive session. I could go
right
here.
Well, at least one of us, I think, should go.
Pens from the conference. I went from table to table picking them up. We're going to get you out of here first.
I gave Lexi a soil and water in our department. She's going to do a file for farmland preservation plan and our department.
Okay.
So they gave Lexi a copy of it.
You want some kind of letter of support?
Letter of support.
Okay.
So,
I'll make sure it's like grammar and good and sounds professional. No worries. When do you need it by?
The 27th of February.
Oh, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't need to be approved by us.
No.
Okay. Don't let me forget about his letter.
Well, I was going to email her. I gave her a physical copy, but I'll email her.
Okay.
Tell me.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, this is the zoning report. Thank you. We'll look at it.
I don't know. St. Pauli girl. I think that's a bear.
I don't like to go outside because I don't like being blindsided.
Did you get one of those?
Yes, I did.
No, I have no clue why I got this from. That's what I told one kid.
What does it say?
How to send expenses in.
Memorial Day expense reimbursement. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but it's for the VFW, not us.
Services
and
well, then I would pass it to them. Who sent it to us?
Oh,
that's them. That's interesting.
I'm not.
Huh?
I say I'm not going to.
Okay. Oh, this St. Pauli thing.
Well, then there's this Becky Lynch thing.
Yeah, I got one of those too. This is the fair agreement.
It says they have to do it every year, and then we got one.
Maybe it's a new thing. Things change all the time, as you know. What's the St. Pauli thing again? Oh, it's how much money we got.
Yeah.
So that will be you to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll be Lexi.
Okay.
All right. You've got about 30 seconds.
I'm ready.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Could you all stand for the pledge? Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. This evening, we're going to do things a little bit out of order. Everybody can hear me okay?
No.
Oh, I could definitely talk louder. We're going to start with a guest because he has another meeting to get to. So we do have an issue to decide amongst us. It has to do with the assigning an address to a parcel here in Leroy. And we have Mr. Radacci. Please tell me I pronounced that correctly. I never get it right. He's a representative from the Planning Commission who's going to talk to us about what that process involves.
Good evening. I'm David Radacci, the Director of Lake County Planning Community Development, with staff to the Planning Commission. We do addressing for 10 out of 23 communities. We do Leroy, we do Concord Township, Perry Village, North Perry Village. We do Fairport Harbor, Grand River, Kirtland Hills, and Light Hill for issuing addresses. And I found a reference back in the 1960 Planning Commission minutes saying that that they needed an agency to spearhead the issuing addresses, and everybody thought it was best for the Planning Commission to do it. And so that was the only mention of issuing addresses that was given. And so we have done it. There were memos and a word of mouth. I was trained how to do addresses when I started working for Planning Commission in 1997. It was just word of mouth and some memos. And so we eventually pulled together some address guidelines recently, and we're trying to get them of record. In the past, people would call and we would issue, they said, I need an address for a house. We would ask for a site plan now and say that we need a site plan, and then they would give it to us. We figure out where the house would be on the grid, and then we either give them the address. And in some cases, we used to get Painesville Township, their zoning inspector, the address, but that has since changed, and now we can issue them directly. And then initially, when I started doing this, Leroy was, we would give the address to anybody, and then we had some issues when Myron was zoning inspector, and so we had a couple of zoning violations that popped up because they were able to get an address and get electricity, and then people were bringing out campers and trailers and doing other things that were against the zoning. And so Myron asked me what would be the best option to stop the problem. And I suggested that I could create addresses and hand them to you, and you can issue them when you issue the zoning permit. So currently, the policy in Leroy has been when somebody's ready to pull a zoning permit, then we give them an address. And sometimes Myron would ask for an address, I would give it to him, and we could still do the same thing. If the zoning inspector tells me to give him an address, I will give him an address.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions? I do have the guidelines, and thank you for sending those. I appreciate that. Are these approved or are these proposed?
Those are, I'm having trouble figuring out how, that's part of the reason why I was doing, I was trying to figure out how to do this, and I think I'm going to have a public hearing at the Planning Commission and have them adopt them officially. I was trying to figure out if I would go to each one of the boards, each one of the township boards or the city councils to have them adopt it, or if I can do the Planning Commission or have the commissioners do it, because there's two sections of ORC. There's a section in Title III, which is counties, that allows the commissioners to issue house numbers for the unincorporated area. And there's a section in Title V which allows trustees to do it. So I think our best bet right now is we'll probably have the Planning Commission do a public hearing, take comment, and have them pass the guidelines.
So these are essentially advisory right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And these things have been, they're basically rules that we've been doing for the past past 60 years, 65 years.
Okay. Questions?
Mm-hmm. Noel, do you have any questions or comments regarding what Dave's talking about?
Yes, I do. We have had some issues in Leroy regarding properties that have had addresses and people moving into barns, living in barns. Those properties have then since gone to court and have been long and lengthy court battles. Unfortunately, there was a big fire in Ashtabula County last week. That barn was converted, and there's no records that that barn was converted to have dwellings in it and addresses assigned. There's many reasons to try to keep control of when properties have addresses and what they're doing on those properties so that we're not having these issues down the road. So that is another concern for the zoning and has been a concern of this of the previous boards here in Leroy with these properties that have addresses. Either they pick them themselves or they get assigned or they've been assigned previously and they just do what they want on these properties without zoning approval.
So you said essentially you would want to issue an address when a zoning permit is issued, but the property in question, it's an agricultural use, but I was told by a representative that some sort of a permit was issued.
Agricultural doesn't get a true permit. They have to submit their distances, submit a site plan and prove that it's agricultural, sign an affidavit, but there's not, it's not an actual zoning permit per se, like a house is or a commercial business. It's to verify that it is an agricultural use. A lot of people just think, oh, I can put a garage on a property and store my four-wheelers and my wife's sports car or whatever, and it's not really an agricultural use. So part of the agricultural permitting process and getting the affidavit submitted is to verify that it is in fact a true agricultural use. We've had properties submitted for agricultural use that was less than an acre and they weren't growing anything or doing anything. So that's part of that process.
So for the parcel in question, do we have an affidavit?
We do not yet. It was supposed to be dropped off.
Okay.
Part of the reason also with controlling the addresses allows us to control and make sure that there isn't any zoning violations to property. If you have to prosecute a zoning violation, you got to go to Painesville Municipal Court. It's very costly and it's very difficult to do. It's a very time-consuming process. You have to pay a lawyer, and you have to pay court costs, and it gets really, and then they have the right to appeal to Common Pleas, and then to the appeals court, all the way up to the Supreme Court. And so it just gets really difficult, and it could be expensive for the township to. So part of it was part of not giving the address, and so we wouldn't have zoning violations, and they wouldn't have to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law.
Okay, thank you.
There's two sides to that, because there's not a lot of enforcement, but yet I know my sister-in-law had a friend that moved, is in Euclid, and they put up a building to do what you were talking about. They bought some property, they plan on building here in Leroy, but they were storing their mower and things like that in this portable building. And how do you control it? Where we don't have a lot of enforcement besides going to court. So there are two sides to this story, you know, and how to handle it. I mean, there are legitimate things, and then, but are you going to walk into someone's barn and say, are you using this as living quarters? I mean,
if we receive a complaint, and that has happened, and we have also gotten search warrants to go onto a property, zoning violations are a criminal offense per the ORC. So it's not that it's just a minor misdemeanor. It is got some teeth to the law, and we do have the ability to get a search warrant to go on the property. If we find that people are, we get complaints or we see that there's what looks like residential activity in an agricultural barn or commercial activity on an agricultural, supposed agricultural property, then it's my duty to follow through and take a look at it. That's what the zoning
I've lived here for 70 years, and I know the zoning inspector previously, before Myron, had been threatened with a shotgun, so.
And I'm not saying that I have not.
This is Leroy.
I have had the, you know, sheriff's department come with me on some of the cases. We do have the one case where the people were snowed in the building, and it was all over Facebook. They're snowed in during that bad snowstorm a couple of years ago, and they were living in it, and we're still dealing with that property on how things were scabbed in there. We don't know where the septic was, where the waste was going, and we're still trying to get that property addressed.
The one aspect of this that we have not discussed yet that I think has a pretty strong bearing on it is a discussion we had with the fire chief pertaining to having to respond if there's some kind of a need for help. That's part of the reason you have an address, so that they can find it. So I don't think that should be ignored as part of this discussion. If there was, God forbid, something that happens on this property, we want there to be emergency response that can find them. So I guess I'm asking, where's the decision point on this? The gentleman who represents that property, Mr. DeFranco, do you have anything you want to add to the discussion?
No. You guys brought everything out, like you said, but the illuminating company will not bring in power for the same reason. Is if there is an emergency, they got a dispatch, have an address, a dispatch.
So how are you coming with the affidavit that our zoning inspector is asking for?
I guess I have another one here.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that was easy.
Right now, these are guidelines, and so this has been a policy that we've been doing with Leroy for the past couple of years. Previously, we did the same policy in Painesville Township, and it's been switched. So it's up to you guys to decide if you guys want us to issue addresses to every Tom, Dick, and Harry when they call. We'll be happy to issue an address.
Well, thanks for all the input. I think we'll probably have to make some kind of a decision on that, but probably not right this second. It sounds to me like a lot of it kind of comes back to Noelle. And on her, I mean, if you have the documentation you need for the issuing of an address, then is there any reason why we wouldn't issue an address?
I'd like to take a chance to read this over. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
There's quite a bit here.
Okay.
So I do need to read it over and see that the person that signed the affidavit is legally allowed for the corporation that owns the property to sign for it.
Okay.
Feel comfortable just doing it on the fly right here?
I don't blame you. Do you think a week is long enough, and then you can let us know what your thoughts are?
Sure.
Any other advice for us, Mr. Radacci?
No.
Thank you so much for being here this evening. Yeah, we really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is correspondence, and Lexi's going to talk about that a little bit.
We did get a correspondence from St. Pauli Textile, who picks up the clothing out of the clothing shed that's in the parking lot on the other side of the fire department. And their report for 2025 was that we gave 13, or that the residents of Leroy or whoever dropped off clothing gave 13,447 pounds of clothing throughout the year. It was enough to clothe an estimated 2,477 people from all over the world. And based on our volume, we received $538. And that does go to the rec board.
Thank you. At this time, I move that we approve the minutes for the previous meeting, 1/27/26. Is there a second?
Second.
Would you please call the roll?
Linda Burhenny?
Aye.
Richard Van Pelt?
Aye.
You would abstain because you weren't.
Yeah, there. That's right. What I was trying to think in my brain. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know your brain's fried today, so we'll be
patient. Do you still want me to say his name?
Please.
Roy Gregg.
Abstain.
I move we approve the minutes for the January 29th, 26th meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Would you please call the roll?
Linda Burhenny?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gregg?
Abstain.
I move we approve the minutes from the meeting. It was a special meeting on 2/3/26. Is there a second?
Second.
Linda Burhoney?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gray?
Abstain.
All right, you're up again.
I don't really have anything directly from our office. Not much has been going on. More just end of the year, closing out and finishing 2025. I would like to know if you guys would be willing to send me to the 2026 Local Government Official Conference down in Columbus from March 19th to the 20th. It's actually the 18th to the 20th, I believe, but I'll double check that. There will be lots of different speakers, and they're going to be talking a lot about property tax and if that were to go and what that looks like and how it will affect budgets. So it's $300, and it also would give me the Integrity Act continuing education that I need to do as fiscal officer.
I looked over the agenda, and it really looks good.
I know.
You really should go.
Yeah, I would really like to.
I don't think we need to take an action on that, do we?
Not really.
Do you want to do the bills before we miss it?
Motion to pay all bills. I'll make a motion to pay all bills. Give me a second.
Second.
Linda Burhoney?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gray?
Aye.
On that local government officials conference, I think we do need to take action, authorize the $300. So
okay.
I'll make that motion and we authorize it.
Second.
Linda Burhoney?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gray?
Aye.
Thank you.
There was a couple sessions there for fire chiefs also, but I only saw like two.
Yeah, I honestly wasn't looking. Yeah, I was more just looking at the...
I don't know if it was worthwhile, because there were only two sessions.
I think Chief is going to the... isn't he going to the chiefs? Or trying to? I think he's going out of town. I think it's in March.
I don't remember the date.
Yeah.
There is a...
Definitely ask
him. ...period of time that he's going to be out of town. I don't know how those dates fall.
Yeah. There were only two sessions. I don't know if it was worth going down there for 2 days for two sessions.
Yeah. And the 300 that it does include is all of the training, the courses, and they also give you lunch and breakfast. So some meals are included.
I saw lodging was not. Are we paying for lodging?
Yes.
Okay.
Normally, in the handbook, that's what
okay.
we don't
have. That's what
yeah.
I would think. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to do the fire contract? Do
well,
we have a copy of it to be signed?
I think you brought everything from fire.
Okay. You have everything? Okay.
Yeah. But Chief wasn't able to come. He's working in Mentor, so he gave me his report. The number of calls here to date are 77. Number of calls for the month of January, 59. 5 fire, 44 EMS, 5 hazardous conditions, 1 service call, 1 good intent, 2 false alarms, and 1 special incident. It talks about this being done. And the old fire engine that was sitting out back here has been sold. We got about $7,600 for that. It's been picked up. And then, of course, the annual pancake breakfast will be held April 26th from 9 to 12:30 p.m.
A.M.
Well,
p.m. Yes.
30.
Gotcha.
9 in the morning till
okay.
afternoon. And then, this is the agreement for central dispatch. What was that?
Do we have a resolution for this?
Yeah, 2607.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then there's also a memorandum of understanding. Remember that instead of doing the $4,000 a year for upkeep, it's now proposed that they're going to divide that amount, $56,000 or whatever it is, and figure out what each call would cost and bill us by a call. So our price would be way lower. The chief signs this one, all three of us sign the agreement. So I'll make a motion we go ahead with resolution 2607. I think we passed that once before.
Yeah,
problem was.
I don't think we did.
No, because.
We didn't.
We needed a clean copy of the contract.
They had some mistakes on it.
Yes.
There were some typos.
So I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Linda Burhani?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gregg?
Aye.
So do you want to sign after while we sign everything else?
We have a lot of things to sign.
Well, we have minutes and what have you, so. All right. Roads.
Roads, well, I just got back last night. But on the way here, I went down Jennings and Shirley Court and Spring Court, which have some problems, and Rick will discuss those after the meeting, because I'd like to get moving on those, seeing the weather's supposed to break in the next 14 days. Get Oops out here and start repairing some of these holes, which we've discussed before, but the weather up here hasn't been too conducive to work. I know all you've been doing is plowing snow and freezing, so. Other than that, we have, I am going to meet, Rick already met with the County Road Department. I am going to meet with them. We are going to set up a comprehensive plan over like a 5 or 10 year period. We want to core our roads, which basically they take and drill a hole, see what we have for a base and what we have to work with, whether it's like tear this thing out and start over, or we have a base to be able to grind and then, chip and tar over that. The county, when I met with them just the day before I left on vacation, they were really enthusiastic about getting together with us on this and creating a road plan for Leroy. That being said, the road department is going to lose approximately $50,000 of our small budget this year, due to the fact that the commissioners gave back the Homestead Act money to the taxpayers, and so what was short is going to be even shorter. So we're going to be working on a shoestring, but we're going to try and stretch that shoestring. We're going to try and do this instead of just a quick patch, like Jennings. I was just down there by Springbrook Court, Edgebrook Court, 7800 Jennings. It's terrible all the way across the road. Somebody's going to break their car. Rick and I have already talked before I left, Anna. We were talking while I was gone. And we're going to dig it out, put base in, and let's get it done right. I don't like throwing Band-Aids on an artery. So that's it for roads.
Okay.
I have a couple things.
Yes.
First of all, I would like to thank you for having been so available even though you were on vacation. We heard from Roy a lot, and I just appreciate that even though you were away, you were kind of still here. So thank you for that.
There is no vacation.
Stupid golf.
That was the only time you couldn't get a hold of me.
Can either you or Rick kind of let us know where we are on the repairs on the bin? Because we did approve the quote for that. I don't know what the timing on that would be or if there's anything we need to do.
Well, we did some repairs on the bin already. The plywood was being pulled off when they would go and try and scoop it out. We put up new plywood, and then what I do at home on my pens when I clean with a skid steer, I took and ordered $130 worth of 2x10 hardwood boards, and we put those in the bottom so we can use them kind of as a kick plate and run along, if people understand that, with the buckets. I ordered that steel from John. He was getting it in. We talked, today is what, Wednesday? We talked last Thursday or Friday. He was ordering the steel. He's going, John from Chardon Welding, that was the thing. And so he is getting that together. He'll let me know when it's going to be. And he said about 10 days to 2 weeks. I also called Handy Rents, because we can't use my rental yard. And got pricing for a lift, because we're going to have what we're doing, the posts are splitting
We're talking about the salt bin at the road garage.
The posts are 25 feet approximately, feet high, and they're splitting at the top. And so you have a 8x8 post that is basically, when they assembled it, had cut it down to a 4x8 at the top, it's splitting. So I have steel ordered from Chardon Welding. We're 6 feet long, they're gonna be matching holes. On this side, we will take and put a flat plate on the inside and a channel on the outside for strength. And we're gonna bolt through every foot, dropping down 6 inches from the top, and then every foot down, and bolt these posts back together, because it's structurally really shaky right now.
That's not what I thought you were gonna say.
So.
It's not going all the way down the post.
No, it doesn't go, it's only at the top. It's about the top 4 feet. And so we're going to, and, but that being said, the beam that is holding the roof up is setting on that cutout of the post, and then it's splitting right there, so that beam is able to move. So we're going up to the top of the beam, coming down on the inside and outside, so we need a lift, man lift on the inside, and a snorkel lift or a boom lift, I'll call it, on the outside, and a guy on each side. We'll have a mag drill, is a magnetic drill that can go, it's attached right to those things. Put the holes through, bolt them down, and then we'll fix all those posts.
So that will stabilize the posts and the beam at the top, both?
Correct.
Okay. And we're thinking in a couple weeks, is that weather dependent?
It will have to be because of that boom lift on the outside.
Okay.
All that you have snow plowing to do.
We'll just leave the roads go. I don't think people would like that though.
And are we still waiting on the county for whether they're going to share that with us again in the future? They have not let us know either way?
No, he said they were going to discuss it. It was out for this year, and they were just going to plan for next year.
Okay.
Right now, they are working out of Madison and Mentor, and they said it would be helpful to have something in between.
They change their mind every year.
So, well, it's new people in there, too.
I know.
And I went in on my knees and begged and apologized.
It was pathetic, but lovely. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Cemeteries, Rich?
I don't really have anything. Nothing.
Okay. I don't really have anything for parks, except there is a recreation meeting tomorrow at 6:30 right here. If anybody would like to participate, we can always use extra hands. Zoning. We have a few things to do, but would you like to start with a report, Noelle?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Here today, we have one new dwelling at 7128 Niffin Road for a 3,232 square foot dwelling, a fence at 6584 Payne Road, and a home occupation renewal at 8200 Proctor Road for the Brown Wolf Inn.
Hey, Noelle. Can you just come up to the...
I'm sorry.
No, you're good, because, yeah, they're recording now, too.
Say the whole thing again?
It's on video and all that, so I was just going to say. Thank you.
So we have a new dwelling at 7128 Niffin Road for 3,232 square feet, a fence at 6584 Payne Road, and a home occupation renewal at 8200 Proctor Road for the Brown Wolf Inn. We do not have any current applications for the Board of Zoning Appeals. The Zoning Commission, there's some a public hearing regarding some zoning at the next trustee meeting.
The 24th, yes.
I believe that's it.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for being responsive when I got in touch with you about the issue on Valentine Road with the address. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We do have some appointments to make because we have some empty slots on a couple of boards. We already took care of the Zoning Commission alternate, but the BZA needed a member and also an alternate. So I would like to make a motion to appoint Corey Keeney as the alternate for the Board of Zoning Appeals with a term that expires on 12/31/2027. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Would you call the roll?
Linda Berhenny?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Right.
Roy Gregg?
Aye.
And I'd just like to say I'm excited to have somebody young. I'd also like to make a motion, I'm sorry?
We're not young?
No, we're not. Well, I'm not, maybe you are. I'd like to make a motion to appoint Amy Shelton as the, as a member of the BZA with a term that expires 12/31/2030. Is there a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Linda Verhenny?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gregg?
Aye.
And then we have a Leroy resident who's going to be giving a try to being the zoning secretary. Very grateful that somebody has stepped up for that role, especially someone from our community. I would like to make a motion that we appoint Deirdre Orris as the zoning secretary at a salary of $50 per meeting and $15 per hour for other work, and with a 6-month probation. Is there a second?
Second.
Will you call the roll?
Linda Verhenny?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gregg?
Aye.
Alrighty, I don't know of any old business that we need to attend to. We are gonna be having some discussions about some things in a little bit though. Is there any new business?
No.
Not right this second? Okay. To move to the items for further discussion, a number of us attended the Ohio Township Association Conference last week. And one of the things that happened, there was a general session, and the keynote speaker was Governor DeWine. And he talked at some length about the movement to try to get rid of property taxes in the state of Ohio and what the possible effects of that might be. And it was kind of shocking, as we know, because the vast majority of the money that we have comes from property taxes, a combination of inside millage that is set by law, and then the rest, which is voted on by the voters. It's not a taxation without representation. Everybody voted on those levies. So I had the thought that maybe we should put out some sort of statement about what our position on that would be, and I drafted something and sent it to you guys for your consideration and wondered, do you have a chance to look at it? What do you think about doing that? Should we just shut up? What do you think?
We'll have to be a little cautious about what we say, but we have to do something, I think. Because without the property tax, basically we have no fire department. You'd have basically no road department.
Well, you'd have a little tiny one. You'd have like, not sure, about $60,000.
They could go
bucks.
Out and patch a couple of holes once a year or something. You know, and that's about all they could do.
Yeah.
So we have to educate the public somehow. But we can't say you have to vote one way or the other.
And I wouldn't. But I would want to educate people about what the effect of it would be for this community.
And Lexi had an idea, that, and maybe we'll do it later, that we try and have a group, you know, a town hall meeting or something, and have both sides here to explain what the situation is. But trying to get people here is tough.
Right. I mean, but that, I think the biggest concern is they don't have a plan on how to replace this money.
No.
They don't have a clue on what they want to do.
Well, there is some talk of up to 20% sales tax, but then what's the plan to distribute it if you did have it?
If you did that?
You would lose local control because it would be distributed by the state in whatever manner they would decide to distribute it. He told us 18% of sales tax is what it would take to replace that revenue, or 10 or 11% of income tax, which the current state income tax rate is 2.75. So, and that would be to replace the lost revenue. I think that people who are pushing this are kind of naive, because their answer typically is, well, just spend your money better. Or
well, cities have, most of them have income tax.
Yes.
And they can generate some money, or they raise it if they have to, and it's not gonna hit them that hard. Townships,
we're not allowed to collect that.
So we're stuck with levies. There's no other way.
There's, and that, like you said, that's what they said is, well, cut your budget.
Well, and then the fallback is, well, then the state legislature will just have to do something. How'd that go for school funding?
But how long would it take, even if they came up with a plan?
Yes, and the plan is, if they get it on the ballot in November, the plan would be that they would stop collecting property tax January 1st next year. So That would be kind of tough.
Yeah, well, I think we should try and have a town hall meeting to, you know, just get it out there, put it on the Leroy page, put it on the Facebook page, and, you know, you can get a proponent here and, you know, someone to present both sides.
Okay.
To present both sides.
We should talk about timing on that. I mean, do you want to wait and see if it looks like they're actually going to get on the ballot this year before we do something like that? Or do you want to just, I mean, it's showing up a lot on the Leroy People's page, like every other thing on there has to do with this.
I did go to the property, the tax, let me restart. I went to the property tax panel that Brian Massey and Auditor Galloway and Commissioner Plechnik were at Auburn Career Center. I don't, I just saw it on Facebook, so I went. And unfortunately, their time cut off right before I was able to ask my question, even though I was kind of in line to ask questions. So I did go up to Commissioner Plechnik and Auditor Galloway afterward, and they both said that they would be willing to come and talk to our residents. And I think that I also talked to Commissioner McIntosh that was just appointed, and I talked to him down at OTA conference, and he also said that, you know, if I reached out to them, that they would be willing to. So if you guys come up with a date and a time and a location, I have already had the conversations if they would be willing to.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, let's have more discussion on a time.
Okay. The next item under discussion pertains to the future of the town hall. Right now, we're really only using the town hall for Noel for zoning once a week. And I know that part of the reason for that was because you guys were redoing the ramp. Mm. But I've been kind of looking into the question of having a restroom there and what it would take. And we would have to be dealing with the Ohio EPA for sanitation there. And their first question was, well, how's the building going to be used? Because that would feed into how we would manage the sanitation. And so the question is it our intention to start using that again for our meetings, or do we want to find an alternate use for it? I do think it's important for us to have some kind of a restroom facility on that parcel, because I think our road guys are using a porta potty right now, and I don't think that's right. I think we should have better sanitation for our employees. So, thoughts?
I don't think we're going to, I don't think anyone wants to go back there to these meetings, but I would imagine that it depends on what you're using it for, but to how many people are going to be in there to base what your septic system's going to have to look like.
Yes.
Right, we've talked about putting offices in there, you know, for the road department. Zoning.
Cemetery?
Cemetery, BZA, you know, I don't know. I haven't been around long enough and talked to the people involved to know how that would affect any interaction between Lexi and Christy and Jen and Sarah and, you know, of information.
Yeah, it probably works out pretty well here.
I would think you and Christy would stay here. But part of the reason that Sarah works here is because working down in the road garage was making her ill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if she were able to have an office space right there in the town hall, I think, would it be more convenient to have her closer?
Yeah, I mean, her and I communicate pretty well. So, it would be easier, but.
So I didn't know if you guys were open to the idea of maybe converting that to office space. These are all part-time positions, but, you know, that would give us a sense of how that restroom would be used for purposes of planning for the sanitation.
And when you talk about offices, you're just talking about partitions.
Yeah,
we're not talking putting up walls or anything else.
Yeah,
just so
desks.
People understand that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you need partitions, really.
Just desks.
But I know these plans
for billing,
were
I was just going to say, for billing purposes, it is kind of nice, all of us being together, so I selfishly say that, but...
What do you mean billing?
Like, just bills or invoices that come in and out, just so that we're all together and it's not getting lost in transit anywhere. It's kind of nice. It's very nice. But I also know that, you know, Sarah has to do work here, and then she does say, okay, I got to go down to the road department and do work down there now, too. So I can understand that as well, but...
But why don't we leave it up to Sarah and Rick and, mm-hmm. and you figure that out.
Unless you have some alternate idea about what we could use the building for that would be better.
Where does BZA meet?
There. We used to meet there, and it is actually kind of a nice location for our BZA meetings, because if there's questions, the files are all right there. I personally would, and I don't know what the chairman said, thinks, but I think it would be nice to have the BZA meetings back there. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the Zoning Commission.
I agree. We have so much information on site that if we have to have a meeting here, we really have to do a lot more legwork to prepare for that meeting, to be able to handle any kind of questions that may come up. And then a lot of times we're, you know, looking at our phones up there to access the GIS, where, you know, at town hall with a larger computer and a wider area to outlay maps and so forth, it's quite a bit challenging here. For the BZA, I can't speak for anybody other than us, but that has been our hope, was that we would be able to move back into the building.
Okay. Susan?
I have one negative thought, which is BZA goes into executive session, and there is no place for residents.
You just have to kick everybody out.
They have to go out, and either in the winter or raining, that's not very good. That's the one inconvenience of it.
Do you have thoughts on that, Rudy?
Generally speaking, when we're here, we have to have people go outside also. We really don't have a secondary room here, but that is also, you know, something that we take into consideration when we are deliberating, you know, what the time of year is, and if it is winter, we try to speed it along. But Susan's absolutely correct.
Okay. Any other input from anybody? Let's keep thinking about this.
Okay.
I don't think it's on fire right now. And this leads into the next thing, the Capitol bill. I got a document from Senator Serino's office that had a lot more information about that. And when I looked through what the different categories were for Capitol bill money, the Capitol bill is every 2 years, the state budget has a big bucket of money that they actually do bonds to raise this money. And then it gets distributed to political subdivisions all over the state. I think it's also sometimes given to 501c3s and private nonprofits.
Fair board gets money.
Yeah, to do capital improvements. And so I was going to ask for a little bucket of money that could get us started on this restroom that we'd like to do. But it is possible that the category that building would be in would require a 50% match from us.
So I'm looking at that, and we were talking about $25,000 for a simple restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could get money, I would try to go for $50,000, especially now that you've involved DPA.
Okay. I haven't involved anybody. Was ask a question.
Right, but they will be involved.
They will be involved.
Okay. And so we better up our number.
But if we have to match it 50%, where's that going to come from?
I happen to know
you have a bucket of money too.
we're going to have to look at those plans and everything.
I don't want to do this. I want to do about half of this.
Right. I know what you said was the Taj Mahal is what they had proposed up there.
Yes.
Could we weigh in?
Yes.
Sure.
When we were doing our comprehensive plan, the health department did come out, and certain times EPA doesn't have to get involved for commercial if it's small enough and the use isn't big as big. It depends on the gallons per day and such. So EPA might not be involved. So you might want to, which would be a great thing.
Yes. So we only have two employees over there.
Right, so you might need to, you might want to talk to the health department.
I did, that's who sent me to EPA.
They flip, they have been flipping back and forth.
Okay, because they flip-flop then, because that's not what they spoke to about at our comprehensive plan meeting.
The lady that I talked to did not seem tremendously unreasonable, and she was quite responsive, which I appreciated. But, I mean, obviously the first question is, how are you going to use it so they can size it? But they, she told me, and the health department told me, we will be able to use a holding tank. We won't have to put in a commercial septic system.
No, that's what.
Yeah, we could use a tank and pump it regularly. They'd have to have a schedule and things like that.
And much less expensive.
Yes.
So that's where we are so far. I don't want to have a nice building sitting there not being used. So if we're only going to use it for meetings of the BZA, I think we could also still use it as office space if it's just a matter of putting a couple desks down there. I would like to ask you, though, I've been told that the heating system in that building is pretty noisy. Is that the case?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Maybe we should address that if we can.
But I think it's mostly because of the way the ductwork is.
Okay.
From what I understand, it's because it's a single-speed fan, not a two-speed, so you can't just blow air calmly. Yes.
Okay.
So we'd have to look into whether it can be changed, which I know you'd have to do thermostat, probably motor, different things. But we'd have to look at that. But on this capital bill, they also were talking about parks and everything, and you had sent out a thing, what about the built older garages down there?
Say that again?
Oh, that, to demolition.
Demo for, that's later. Yes, that's different.
Is that okay? Later for that? It's in a few minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I think we need some kind of feedback fairly soon if I'm going to start working on this restroom and the, the request for the capital money has to be in mid-March.
Right, so I think by next meeting we need to...
Yes, so we'll need an answer.
Right, talk to everybody.
Put that on the agenda and answer for that, please. I wonder what that'd be under. Let me see.
Anywhere else to put it?
The restroom?
Make a category for facilities.
Yeah, that's what we have to look at.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, the next thing, Vicki has been helping me with these doors. I came down here so innocently one day and thought, huh, I wonder if this handicap button works. And so I pushed it, and guess what? It didn't. So that started us down the hole, the rabbit hole of, well, what does it take to make these things work? And my understanding is we've had a locksmith guy out here who was ordering parts for the outside one because it was installed incorrectly originally. My understanding is also that the concrete pad has heaved so that that door will not open all the way. What I don't understand is how that works for a person in a wheelchair if it only opens the outside door and not the inside door. And we were going to look into, can do both of them open from the outside button or not? And when is Santee coming back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, well, that was easy.
sometime tomorrow, I'll meet with him again. And so the concrete issue, we hope will resolve itself in freezing and thawing. When it thaws, things should go back to the way they were, and the door should open normally again.
Well, but that means it only works in the summer and not in the winter. It needs to work all the time. If it heaves in the winter, maybe it can be ground off. You can grind down.
How much is it heaved?
I don't know. We'd have to look at whether it can be ground.
You don't want to grind so much.
I don't know if there's a frost slab out there. Normally, there's a frost slab outside a door.
Neither do I.
So
I'm as new as you.
I got back last night, so I haven't had a chance to look at that.
Could you step up your game a little bit?
Come on. So I will not ask you to give us anything until they come back and you give us some answers. But do you understand my question about...
No, the answers are it's going to be fixed tomorrow.
Well, maybe.
No.
The door will be operational.
Correct.
Should be operational tomorrow. I don't know with this slight thaw that we had for a day if that was enough to let it open all the way.
Normally frost will sit in the ground and it actually goes deeper as it warms up. So probably not for another month. Both these doors should work off of...
The outside button?
Yes.
Okay.
Or the inside button.
Well, they both work for both doors. And that's what we need, for both doors to work off both buttons when they come. Let them know.
I understand.
Gotcha.
But it may not open all the way. That will have to look at the concrete.
Correct.
So...
Okay.
That'll be on my list.
Good thing. Thank you.
Okay.
You were gonna have somebody look at the concrete pad under the pavilion, and I understand somebody did come and look. Oh, we got a number?
I have a number.
What's the horrible number?
Okay, I got this number from Daryl Dunlap. And this is just a ballpark, okay?
Because that's a ball field.
Very good. So, the concrete would be 12 yards, that's $2,400. This is installed, wire mesh, cure seal, gravel underneath for a base. He said the base is probably wasn't the best, and then there was no wire in it. And then remove the old concrete and form. That's $2,000. Place and finish, 5 men, 6 hours, $2,100. Saw cut and clean up, $400, for a total of $7,600.
Okay. To take the old one out and put a new one in?
Ballpark, okay?
Okay.
We, and I talked to Rick while I was gone, that is something we could handle and save $2,000.
For the removal?
Yes. And I see there's a Leroy Concrete guy here. Or are you only block?
Just block.
Okay.
Nice dodge.
But this is just a ballpark from Daryl. He came and looked at it. He's a friend of mine, and I said, just give me a, you know, quick number. So you're going to be about $5,500 if we tear it out. But
you're going to put the gravel in too, right?
We would put the gravel in too. So yeah, and we would supply the gravel. So take out. The gravel's $180, you know, 6 tons at $30, so.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Should I not ask?
No.
The pea gravel, in the, can you use pea gravel
no.
for the base?
No.
Ah, I knew you were gonna say that, darn it. All right.
Rick.
What's the square footage of that?
It is 24 by 36. They're figuring 12 yards of concrete.
Okay, 24 by 36. Thanks.
Yep. And I would put that out. I mean, it would have to go out to bid. This is just a ballpark number of
so
what...
So we know where we're standing.
Right, so we know what we're talking
about. It goes for quotes, not for bids, but you should have some sort of...
Right.
Apples-to-apples specifications.
Right, because I'm sure there are concrete guys here in Leroy that...
Yes.
...that we would like to tap into Leroy...
100%.
Leroy people.
Okay.
So... But that gives you an idea of where we're at.
Put it on the people's page.
I'm sorry, what?
Put it on the people's page.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yes, sir.
All right. I know I asked you about this, and I know it's not on the list, but let me just put it out there again. I would really like for us to try to do something about having more and better off-road parking down there.
Mm-hmm.
For the ball fields and stuff. Even if we just, I think you said you had to take the sod off and just put down gravel.
Yeah, but you gotta pull the sod off. So, this leads me into our next discussion. This capital bill money, okay, when I, no.
No, we haven't
no,
got to
no,
demolition
yes,
yet.
But capital bill money is for parks.
Can be
for parks.
Yes.
There were like 5 different things. This is a park.
Yes.
So we could use it there. We could also use it at Leroy School. Okay, we could apply there to put in some soccer fields and improve the parking there. It is for, I know your thoughts on that. We're not to go on that route. So it is for parks, recreation, mental health. There was 5 or 6 different things that it would, those would qualify under. Community grants.
Uh-huh.
So I think we should not just do the one thing for the restroom. I think we should put in
requests for different things, and we might get one.
Hope for the best.
Right, hope for the best.
Okay.
Let's throw a shotgun out there and and see what hits.
Okay.
But we can do that for the parking here, for the parking at Leroy School, for soccer fields. That's pretty well, it's fairly level, but it would have to be leveled, that grass and stuff there.
Are you talking about for this?
Leroy.
You're talking about for the school?
The school property.
Okay.
Okay, you could put in a couple of soccer fields in there if they would, if you could get money to level it out and, you know, make it nice. So.
I would be tempted to consider approaching the schools or Metro Parks to partner with us on that.
Okay, Metro Parks probably won't, but the schools might.
They don't seem to do much active stuff. They do more passive park stuff. That is true. But, you know, you have not because you ask not.
Right.
No worse off if they say no.
I just lean towards, like, Metro Parks is enough of our land in Leroy.
I'm not suggesting we give them the land. I'm suggesting we partner with them to develop it. That's all. Because they have lots of money and we don't.
Right, if they would help us do something like that, that's fine. And put, because that walking trail we put in years ago, I was probably 30. So that's like 40 years ago, that walking trail.
It's still there, though.
It is still there. I walked down there, but it's pretty wet down in there. But don't say that word. But if we could do something with that, you know, and this may be a way to do it in that capital bill money. So
it's always worth a try.
Right. Let's throw four or five things at them and, you know, brainstorm a little bit on other stuff we could do. You had talked about a sledding hill, you know, off of that thing. This is all community stuff.
Yes.
So let's throw ideas out there and get ideas from the community.
Okay. Clear jets. We can only do so much. I have been talking with Jen Gregg about a T-Mobile grant for recreational stuff, and she keeps saying, yeah, they want to do it. They asked me to help them, and I read the things, and I said, here's what you need, and I keep asking, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do it. Well, then do it.
I'll prod.
We might could throw in the concrete pad with what else they're doing, because they're going for, I think, money for the bleachers. I've walked out there and looked at the bleachers, and there are some that need some repair.
They're bad.
And that's what they were going to go for, but I mean, you could do a little bit larger, especially now that we have some approximate numbers of what it would take, and maybe we can get a little something for that while we're at it. Okay. There's two other things that aren't on here, but that we need to talk about. I gave each of you a packet of material of stuff that I picked up at the conference, and one of the things that I ran into there that gave me a lot more gray hairs than what I already have is I think it's a federal thing, that we have to make our website and any other electronic stuff that we put out ADA compliant.
What does that even mean?
It's a horrifying, huge thing. I went to a workshop about it, and you have plenty of material in there to describe it. You have to make it so that a blind person has access. So they have software, but you got to make sure that what you're putting out there can be read by their software, or a deaf person, or a colorblind person. You got to be more careful about what colors that you use on your site so that they can be perceived. There's a lot to it. And not just that, but whatever you put out there, somebody's going to have to proofread whatever we put out there every time to make sure that what it's saying is what we said. It's going to eat administrative effort. And it's not a once and done thing. However, there is help from the state. OTA has contracted with a company, and you will see in the packet I gave you stuff about that company, and I went to their workshop too, where they will sit with you for an hour or more and go through your website with you and say, fix this, fix that, I suggest you do this, and here's how you do that. There's help, is what I'm saying. But the requirement for us is that we have to be compliant by April of 2027, because we're small. The big townships like Concord, he's already compliant. It cost them $25,000 to get compliant. not kidding, because they have to be ready this April. But because there's so many small townships that are going to be crowding to the bar to get help, I feel like we should be asking now. Let's get in the queue now so that we can get started thinking about that, figuring out what it's going to cost and how we're going to do it. And I was kind of hoping, Rich, that you would kind of be the point of the spear because you know more about that stuff than I do. I don't know what you know, but I know what I don't know.
I'll look it over and see what we
got. Okay, it's in your packet. And please.
So if we don't have a website at all, we don't have to worry about it.
Is that an option in this world? I don't think so. Sorry. But again, anything that we put out has to be able to be perceived by people who are disabled. So I gave you all the stuff that I gave you the printouts from the workshops I went to and also packets from those vendors. And again, the guy from OTA is free for the initial analysis, but you just have to get their time and you got to do it with them. They will do it. It'll be done remotely, but you will go both go through the website together. So that's huge.
Can I say a couple things on that? Just, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this would also affect fire department's website.
Everything.
Right. And also, we do have Jeremy as our webmaster, so I think whatever you were to do or look into or any meetings that you have, you should probably take him with you. Mm-hmm. Just okay. So
that's it
out there. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Roy, we will get to the demolitions. And Noelle sent us a notice about getting help from the land reutilization people.
They had at one point had already set the money aside to do that.
Mm-hmm. To do
to demolition.
For the building at the corner, yes. And when they're
the demolition of the road, the garage.
No, oh. Demolition of the subway.
No, or they had
both,
already
think,
put the money aside, but I don't know because they're still holding it.
I believe both were set aside at one point. I think that money, at least for the subway, was used. There was a concern that it wasn't really on who it belonged to because it was in a receivership and other stuff. Back in November, December, Ron Graham and I were talking, and he did find some information out on who actually does own that. And it was set aside, and it is actually owned by Rick Osborne. I don't know that he even really knows that he owns
it. It's in an LLC, yeah.
But because of the receiverships and how everything was, it actually, the documentation was found, it actually belongs to Rick in all the paperwork. So before, they couldn't touch it because of the receivership, and that's why it got bounced out of the land bank demolitions. So now, I think since that's been found out, we could maybe throw it back in and see if we could get it demolished. I mean, I hate to do it in a way, but the building has been damaged. The septic there does not work. If we could get that property cleared, the land bank could end up selling it, then maybe somebody else could reutilize that property and put something new in there.
What's interesting, when I looked at the parcel on the auditor's website, there's a big piece that goes back behind.
Correct.
Which I didn't know.
That,
so that's
kind of
cool.
The septic is kind of, there's some.
Is that where the septic is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was my question. If you had any properties, I can send a letter back, you know, or interest back to the
That would be something
bank.
You would do?
I've done it. I think Lexi's done it before. Somebody,
okay.
But I just wanted to get the ball rolling. I didn't want it to get dropped if that was something we wanted to consider.
And they need it by the 23rd of February, too. So the clock is...
Do we need a motion
for
that?
Before we're done, I want to also talk about the road garage building.
Okay. On that, I think we're jumping the gun on.
Because we don't have any place to put the junk.
Correct. So I think that's next year.
Okay. I agree.
Project, because, yes, I would like... I've looked at the buildings, the concrete one, I was like, well, maybe it can be saved. Well, there's a big crack down the corner. There's the other one is, but we don't have any place to put anything else, what's currently in there. And some of the stuff needs to be thrown out. Rick and I have looked at that, but there's a lot of good stuff and good storage. So I wanna look at that property and mark everything out, okay? Boundary lines, where each of the buildings are, and lay out a plan for it. I know the previous plan was to put a building in the northwest corner.
In the back there?
On the west side. Yes, on that corner, if you were standing on Leroy Center. But in that, there is a catch basin down there and all the water drains there. Why would you put the building in your lowest spot? Okay, it makes no sense. So I want to see where everything's at, mark it out, and see what kind of room we have to put up a...
I think, didn't Jason already have a topo and all that marked out? I think he's got, or maybe I don't know who's got it right now, but it should be all planned out. The county is helping him, so they may have the plans.
No, so Dave may have it.
Not Dave.
He's a planning commission.
No, it's with the engineer's office.
Okay. I'm gonna meet with them.
They were, yeah, ask about it, because they were here helping Jason with the whole project. They knew the drawing.
Okay, because I would not put a building on the lowest part point of land, personally.
And you asked about the well over there by the, Tom Hall?
Rick Hum, is Rick still here?
He stepped out.
Okay, there's at least two wells up there, possibly three.
Well...
There's one in the middle of the office.
From what I have talked to Richard, he said they took a line from the new well over to the restroom over there in the block building.
But there's a wellhead right there.
It's no good.
What's wrong with it?
Both the well is no good, it's garbage, and the casing was bad, from what I understand. But there is a line going there already, from the new well.
But that's way over on the other side of the road garage building, right?
But the new well is not the one that's in the middle of the office? There's a well in the middle of the office.
No. No, it's outside on the west side.
That's okay, the well here's under the floor, too.
Okay.
That's the well we're using.
Okay.
On the outside of the building.
Because if we put in a restroom, people are gonna wash their hands and may wanna drink, so we're gonna have to get that well tested, too. We have to keep that in mind.
We'll get Sunrise Springs for drinking water. Easy peasy. We'll tell them it's not potable.
I mean, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Guys, stop wrecking all my plans.
Well, I don't wanna poison anyone.
Oh, poison.
There is a line going over there, though.
Right.
Okay.
He didn't remember where it was, how it went, but you could work it back, I'm sure.
Pardon me if I wouldn't wanna get a well guy there to actually make sure the one that's crap really is crap. Just, sorry.
Well, there's three wells there. Like I said, there is, so hopefully one of them is good.
Okay.
Okay, and not the one that's in the center of the office.
No, that was...
Do we need to take an action on the demolition thing or not? What do you think?
I honestly, we haven't done one in a few years, and I can't even think right now if...
Well, then I'll just make...
I don't know if there was a motion or not.
I'll just make a motion that we ask Noel to send a letter...
I don't, I'm sorry.
To the Land Reutilization Corporation pertaining to the property up there.
Okay.
Which we all know what it is, but I don't know what to call it.
This property down here.
Yes.
Old Subway.
Correct, the old Subway building. Is there a second?
Second.
Linda Burhoney?
Aye.
Richard Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gray?
Aye.
And then we'll leave it to you to make sure it gets there timely. Thank you.
Thanks, Noel.
Yeah.
All right, are we done with what we were discussing for now?
We are.
Okay, anything from the audience this evening? Questions, comments, complaints, concerns?
I do.
Okay.
Do I have to go up there?
If you want, you may.
I don't need to, I talk about that.
But you're right by our camera.
If you can, though, because it links to our camera and we need you to.
These are gonna be posted on our website.
I am Susan. I've been doing the mowing for Leroy for I don't know how many years. I picked up your packet today. Got a lot of questions in it.
Is this the place for the questions? Should she just call you directly?
The one question she had was...
There is,
on there it says,
yeah, you have spraying of the driveways and the sidewalks and everything. I don't have a license for that. It's a very expensive license. And I don't know how many companies actually really will, but I'm just letting you know I don't have it. As far as your cleanup paper, I don't know if you guys got these by chance?
We saw them.
Okay, your cleanup, you have, you know, the cleanup at Williams, which another company came in and did the little bit of trimming around the trees. They did lay topsoil across graves that were sunken, and they laid mulch, which was a beautiful job. They really did. As far as the wreaths, the dead flowers and everything, and tree branches that would fall occasionally, I took care of that without charge. I took care of the cemetery without. So you have a whole list of spring cleanup stuff that technically I can save you the money because I've been doing it without being paid for it. That's just how I do it. I got a mow, I'm gonna clean up the branches. I carry a chainsaw with me, battery operated one, I carry it with me, and I take care of all that. You're gonna probably look, from what I guess, to get somebody with a spraying application, and is it a one-time spray? Because one time in a year isn't gonna cover it. Spraying is gonna be, and you're gonna be looking for just the spring cleanup alone about $4,000. For somebody to come in to cover the mulch, because the mulch is going to be over the 2,000 mark. I forget what it is. I know Lexi, she's got the paperwork for it, what she paid that company. And then you've got them coming to all the other cemeteries, you know, and have to do all that, which I would maintain it when I was mowing. So nobody else, they just did Williams and that was it. The second thing is you have re-whipping of the sidewalks. What sidewalks are you pertaining to in here? You have the little pathway in the circle. You have the walking path, all of that. It doesn't specify what sidewalks that you're talking about at all.
I have not really seen that.
Okay.
I can Sarah emailed it to you guys.
Right. Glanced over it,
yeah.
But I haven't. So the spraying, that's gonna be totally somebody else.
To be honest, I don't know where you're expecting to spray. I mean, your parking lots are fine. I weed whip, and I actually, when I'm walking around weed whipping all the fences and everything, I hit the walking path when I see it coming over, just out of courtesy. It would save you guys a lot of money. And I know Leroy wants to save money. I mean, and I'm not saying it just because I've had it for years, and it could be just anybody coming in and bidding.
Yeah, let's have a discussion after the meeting, and you and I will go over that.
Okay. And Payne, the other thing is Payne Cemetery, you have it with no cleanup. Now
that's the old one down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, that's Payne the Bay. One. Hmm? You Payne can't just Bay. Go in and mow that one. That one took me, I believe, four and a half hours.
Just saying four times a year.
Yeah, but it doesn't say anything about a cleanup before going in and mow. You have cleanup on the other ones, but you don't have cleanup on that one.
Yeah.
So this paperwork.
It's been a while since quotes have been sought for this, and it's not that we don't appreciate what you've done in the past. We just felt like we had an obligation to.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a problem at all with me. You know, whether I get it or not, that's not the issue. It's the issue that. And you also have it, the insurances, the way you worded it for insurance, like, could be, you know, brought in before they accept the bid. But, and the other thing is it for some people to bring in their insurance, or is it, it should be mandatory when the bid is approved. Then the insurance comes in. And you don't have workman's comp on it.
No.
And I'm not doing this to be mean.
No,
I've been doing this since 2000.
Okay.
So it's like.
Well, if you want to have a chat with Roy after,
we
can sort some of these things out, and next time we do it, we'll do better. Thank you for your input.
It saves you a lot of money that way.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Did you have something?
Dennis Core.
Yes.
I guess the one thing, and I know you just got back, I'm going to question about the roads. Mm-hmm. Okay, like the other, our end of Radcliffe, you know which part that is. And you guys have been stuck in there, and the plows have been, and we've been spending money on getting the plows out of the ditches. And I guess one of the biggest things we have is the road goes and then falls off right into the ditch. We don't have proper berm or anything on that. And when I talked to a couple guys that were working down there, apparently there's some other roads that we have the same problem with. That really what's happened is the ditches have basically disappeared. We just have road and then it drops off. So then in the wintertime when they're trying to plow and go through, they're getting stuck. And it's costing quite a bit of money, I'm sure, unless we've got somebody on call to pull these guys out. They've been down ours a couple times on the hill. You've seen the hill too. Problem is, I'm not trying to short any of the other places that need work on, like Shirley, Jennings, all dead ends. But we have roads over here like Sumner that go all the way through that we've got traffic running both ways. We've got the one end of Radcliffe is nice. This end, we're taking on both Riverside and we take on all the Chardon buses, Berkshire, everybody else, up and down that hill, over that bridge, and it's starting to tear the road up pretty bad. So I think there's certain things we need to look at, if we can, to try to make sure we fix these things before it gets out of control. I know they fixed it many years ago, but it's been many, many years, and there's a lot of traffic going through these. We got Proctor, at least is, you know, decent for the time being, but some of these others that we got connecting from major roads, 86, 166, and everybody's going through, we're getting trashed out there. Roads are horrible, trucks that get going down, they're getting beat up, you know, and it's almost just kind of bringing it up for attention so that it's on the record so we can look into them. And the other question I had was on that $50,000 that we losing on the road department because of the homestead exemption. Mm-hmm. Is that because we have so many retirees here in Leroy that we're losing that money, or is it just a general from the whole state?
It's because the commissioners decided to take advantage of a law that was passed in Columbus to allow counties to double the homestead exemption. Mm-hmm. And there was another one too that they could double, and they did both of them. What was
rollback.
The rollback, they doubled the rollback as well. That gives tax relief to the people that it applies to. Mm-hmm. I think rollback is pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. And the homestead is for seniors. Mm-hmm. My understanding is it was only done for a year. But for this year, we did lose about $80,000 altogether. The $50,000 to the road department. We don't know if it'll be done again next year or not. Mm-hmm. But that's the cause of it.
Okay.
Our tax settlements for the first half and the second half, when they come in at the very bottom of the settlement, it'll say homestead rollback to be received from the state. And so you get that portion later on from the state itself and not the county, like our other settlement comes from. And we took an average, the county itself couldn't even give us a real number. We took both first half and the second half from the past 2 years to see what the average was that we got on a yearly basis, and then also how it broke down in between all departments.
Okay.
And that's it really is truly just as best of a guesstimate, because the county can't even give us actual numbers.
Okay, so you don't have the answer.
Those are our best guesses.
Those are our best guesses.
Okay.
But based on how much the road gets, differing from how much the fire gets and general fund gets, the road will be hit the biggest out of any of the other funds.
Right. We thought it was going to be fire that was going to get hit the biggest, and it turned out that it was the road.
The
correct.
Roads are going to get hit.
Right. And okay, going to your other thing, so what I've gleaned so far, meeting with the county, meeting with Jason, meeting with Rick, is we put in for money each year from the state. It was not done last year to get for road improvements, and it's on a sliding scale. So Sumner is going to be a good one. Proctor was a good one because it's going from state route to state route. Okay, mm-hmm. It can be a major thing. Jennings is a horrible one because it is a cul-de-sac at the end. It's not a main thoroughfare, right? So they rate everything based on usage, what it connects to. They're all different points to be able to get this money. And so they take, and we have to put this together as a township. Then we take it to the county. They'll go over it with us and say, hey, tweak this here a little bit, tweak this here. And then it goes to the state and they say, okay, Leroy's gonna get X amount, Concord's gonna get X amount, Thompson's gonna get X amount based on our application, okay? And so, yes, Sumner is bad, Taylor is bad, Radcliffe you're talking about is bad. Jennings, the things I was talking about, Jennings, Spring Court off of Radcliffe and Shirley Park, these are small areas, okay, where there's a hole basically in the road, you know, that's as big as this table, like on Jennings, that goes all the way across.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna be working on here, immediately fixing those and going, digging them down. We have to get oops out first to make sure there's nothing in our cable. You know, and then we have, after that, 10 days to dig the hole, put in some ones and twos, put in some 57s and top it. It may be gravel for a while, okay? That small portion may be gravel until we get some weather that we can top it with chip and seal. But I don't wanna just throw chip and seal down where we're at now. It doesn't make sense. You're throwing good money after bad.
Right. And so we didn't get the funds last year then.
They were not applied for last year.
We didn't apply for this stuff, so.
Takes a while to get it through.
Right.
That issue too.
But we will this year then.
Well, yeah, we will absolutely be applying. Absolutely.
That's the best we can do then.
Right, and as I said, I'm going to meet with the county. I met the day before I left and set it up with Brian, and when I get back, he, Rick, and I are gonna start going over these roads, and we don't know. And Jason mentioned it, and I know Callow Road at my end, okay? Mm-hmm. I can remember pulling school buses out of the mud, okay? So some of the roads have no base, all right? But we don't know which and where. So we want to core these things and know what we're working with and what kind of base we have to form a plan of action, okay? And
they're going to do that for us at no cost.
Yes, and so you may see improvements, how can I put this, slow down or be shorter sections of road because we want to do it correctly and get it so that 10 years from now we have good roads, all right? It's not something that's going to happen overnight, all right? But instead of doing a mile and just throwing chip and tar over it, it may be a half a mile and get some base on it, and then chip and tar, and it's gonna last.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Okay. I know we had a similar goal 10 years ago, or 15 years ago. It was started, I mean, we went from dirt roads, and I've been here forever, so.
Right.
You know, been on the dirt roads, we've gotten this far. I just hate to see it, everything's going backwards now, is the problem, and it's gonna cost more and more trying to fix, and instead of being able to keep up with them, so.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks, Dennis. Anybody else? I forgot when we were doing the fire department, I needed to issue a correction to something I said at the last meeting. When we talked about the levy and what the cost of it would be if it passed, since that time we've dug down into it, and the number I gave 2 weeks ago was not correct. So here's what the correct number would be. Should the 5 mil levy pass, and the 4.5 mil renewal be permanently suspended, the increase will cost $78 per 100,000 of valuation. That's what it's really going to cost. So that's the number. If the levy passes and we suspend, which we will, the 4.5, the cost will be an increase of $78 per 100,000 of valuation. So I apologize for giving a bad number.
And realize valuation is only 35% of what your house, if you were to sell it for 500,000, okay, it's only based on 35% of that.
Well, it's based on the appraised, by the county as appraisal, but not by...
Not by the sale, right. But, yeah, so it's not, your house is appraised at $500,000.
By the county.
By the county, it's only 35% of that number, not $500,000. Realize that.
Okay. And I want to apologize, because I'm the one that gave Linda that information, but I looked at the wrong paper, so I also apologize for that error.
Anything else? Thank you all so much for being here tonight. We'll be back on the 24th.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Linda Burhenny?
Aye.
Rich Van Pelt?
Aye.
Roy Gregg?
Aye.
Thank you. Do you want me to sign that contract?
Yes, sir.
This contract, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
My name is a second.
I'm bored.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sort of... Yeah, down the door.